so on Schuldig.
Happens to me it's an easy daf, and we should get through this fairly quickly. A little Orachayim in today's daf, and should be a lot of fun. I can use that terminology. We are on Tesvav Amud Beis, and starting a new perek, perek sheni of Trumas. Tesvav Amud Beis, Ein Tomim Ratar Ahatome. Our favorite topic, when you have two different types of Tumah statuses, Tumah Tara statuses, you can't take Tar on the Tame. Vim Tormu, if you did it, Tormas and Truma, be the evidence good. Be'emes Amru, Be'emes, remember, whenever it says Be'emes, it usually means Halakhla Mashmi Sinai in the Mishnah. So, Be'emes Amru, Ha'igol Shal Dveila, Shenitma, Miksaso, then if you have a dried, you know, it was this round cake of pressed figs. So they, it was, you buy those figs in the supermarket. There's a string through the center of them. Yeah. Like, you can barely eat them. You know, they sit on the shelf for months and months till you throw that out. But anyway, you usually get it for a shelf of months. So Now you know. So if you have this eagle and some of it is tummy and some of it is tahar,
how is that possible? Yeah. Touching,
you would think one.
You would think that. The only way possible is if the tahar was not hukshra l'kabel tuma, right? If it was never got wet. So if something was never got wet, it's not hukshra. It won't be l'kabel tuma, right?
But then none of it is tummy.
I said the part that's tahar, the part that's tummy was hooksha.
So part of it got part,
I mean, after a while, you strung it up. You had some which was tummy and some which was tahar. You strung it up. I don't have any other way to explain it. Gemara's going to
explain it.
Yeah.
Oh,
good. I'm glad. Who would think that? Anyway, it's gonna get worse. Okay, what's the reason for this? Is because the whole reason why you're not allowed to take tahar al tamei is because there's a din that has to be. We said this yesterday that you're not allowed to take shalom and hamukaf. It has to be actually touching each other. If it's not touching each other, it's not hamukaf. So if you have tahar and you have tamei, you're not going to want to put the two together. It won't be in one book, so we don't allow you to take one on the other.
Is an issue mean both directions or just one?
We're going to speak out the other direction in a minute. First, we're speaking this direction, and it means only this direction, right? Is there a comment about this? The bottom of one. Now, in the case of our Mishnah, in the middle of the third paragraph, in the case of our Mishnah, where one pile is tummy, the other is tar, one is particular that the two piles do not mix. Therefore, they're not considered in proximity unless they're brought into actual physical contact. If so, it is impossible to separate truma from a tahar pile on behalf of a tummy pile without first contaminating the tahar pile. I gave you a case where it is possible, but he's saying it's not possible. The rabbis therefore forbade such an act. Okay. I don't know what I just said is not a good example. Okay, whatever. That's what it says. Okay, let's keep going. So it says that if you have an eagle, then you can take it off. And the reason is because it's already in close proximity, because it's in a string circle, right? Okay, let's go to the next page. Same thing is true of a bundle of vegetables. The same thing is true by a pile of produce. That it is, all three cases, they're a single entity, so therefore you could take tahar on tummy. He goes through the thing here. Right? According to Rambam, the original prohibition is derived from a pasuk. It's biblical. So the exceptions must also be biblical. So that's why it says Ben Masaru, so there was some Halakha Mishmi Sinai. According to Rash, everything's rabbinic. The rabbis forbade it because of the reason we just said. Okay. Now, let's go next. Hayushnei Gulin. Let's suppose you had two circles of two round cakes of fresh figs. Staggered, there's two bundles of vegetables. Stay, arimos, two piles of produce. Achas tar v'achas tamei, if one is tar, one is tamei, then obviously you don't have this heter because it's no longer one entity, so it's pashut. Lo yishum yizelza, you can't take one and the other. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, tamei matar lo tamei, you can always take tar on tamei. He disagrees with the whole halach.
But only one direction, right?
So far. Yeah. Tahar on tamei, that's what we're dealing with till now. You're taking the truma from the tohar on the tummy. So the truma is tohara. Okay, that's why, but the evidence is this is good. Even if you're doing it b'mezid, it's good. If you go the other way, we're going to see in a second, then it makes a difference whether you're doing it b'mezid or b'shrag. Okay?
And these are not touching, right?
Well, you know, I don't know how he learned the case of the eagle, how the eagle is not touching. I'm not sure. What's that?
Even the pile.
What pile? In the case of Shnei Aramis, two piles?
Yeah.
Yes, those two piles are not touching each other.
So why is it considered Mukkah?
Maybe it's not.
I said you can only be Torah and a Mukkah.
But the Yavid, Shlomo and a Mukkah, if it's good. This is lechachila, the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling me I cannot take truma from tohar on tameh, but if you do it for the yevet, it's good.
According to
Rabbi Elazar, you could do it lechachila. Now we're going to go to the other side. Ain't truma not tameh la tohar. Then you can't take tameh. Obviously, when you take truma that's tameh, the kohen is going to suffer a pretty big loss because you're giving him something which is not edible. Then Torah, Shogeg, Shumah, say Truma. If you do it for Shogeg, it's Truma. Mezib, if you do it deliberately, La'asiv Le'klom. You didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. Now he quotes.
Truma doesn't have its shin Truma.
Right. So that's a perfect segue into what I'm about to tell you from the Bavli. In the bottom, he quotes in Machlokas in Yevamos 89a. That doesn't machlokas. There are two things that are accomplished when you mafresh the truma. Number one, you're masaking the kri. It's no longer tevel, and it becomes, let's call it chulin, right? And the second thing is you create a shem truma on the thing that you have separated. Now the question is, when the Mishnah says le'yosav lo'y klum, does it mean nothing, that there's no tikkun, and there's no kriyas shem truma, or perhaps, you know, it doesn't go on both. Maybe the tikkun happened, it's just the shem truma didn't happen.
So that,
what's that? It's a machlokes.
How about the other way around? You wouldn't say it works, but it doesn't,
it's not
called truma.
What was that again?
Would you say it works, but it's not called truma?
How does that, what sense does that make? It's going to work even though there's no truma? How is that possible? That's impossible.
That doesn't work.
That's not a possibility. Anyway, there is no such shita, so I don't need to consider it. He brings it from the Nusim Bar Aishia holds. They invalidated the second accomplishment, converting the remaining produce from Tevel to Chulin. So it remains. So maybe I didn't say it clearly. In other words, the status of Chulin is more lenient than that of Tevel, so they can revoke the lenient status, right? You can go from a lenient status to a more chomer status. They're creating a chomer, basically. The Rabbanan are creating a chomer. They're saying it remains Tevel. But the Shem Truma, they left on the Shem Truma. Because since that was, you know, okay. And Rav Krista holds the other way. That not the other way, but he holds that it goes on both things. Sanctity, the truma is revoked as well. They felt it was necessary to do so because they wanted to ensure that a second truma taken from tar produce would be separated. They feared unless the original truma taken was revoked, you would not remove a truma a second time. So therefore, they backed the whole thing up. But that's, of course, only b'mezid. The chain bein Levi shahi loy meiser tevel. Same thing is a Levi has meiser that he was given, which is tevel as far as Trumas Meiser is concerned. And some of it is Tame, some of it is Tahar, right? He was taking my Trumas Meiser on behalf of Tahar piles from it. The same thing. In other words, you're taking from a pile of Meiser Rishon that's Tame, and you're being mafresh it on other Meiser that's Tahar. So the Trumas Meiser that you're being mafresh is Tame Trumas Meiser. The same halacha. It's just like it was true for Truma, it's true for Truma's Meiser also. It's very simple as a chugging, it's much also. Also, amazingly, also, we'll call them the same thing.
But he said, it means Meiser
Tame? Yes. That is correct.
Which seems to be an important word that he left out.
That's the only way, that's the only way it'll make sense.
I agree.
It says, this is the Rosh's shot for a different approach. See Tosis Yom Tov, an explanation of Rambam commentary. I guess maybe there's another way to learn this Mishnah, of course, since the word's missing, it leaves it open for interpretation, as you point out, a completely valid observation. The word Tomei is missing, but the Rosh holds that in context, that's what must be what we're talking about. And I didn't look it up, so I'm just going to learn that way for now.
What do you do with the Trumas Meiser that's Tame?
Same thing. Masiko Tachas Tavshilo. Masiko Tachas Tavshilo is the only.
It's interesting that the Shogeg, right, it's the loss of the
Kohen.
The Kohen.
Yeah, you bet.
The Shogeg, the Bezid, we say, no, it's not good. You would think that you would try to protect the Kohen.
You would think.
Also do the Knas on the Shogeg.
Yeah.
So what, you know what I'm saying? Not knowing is not an excuse.
Okay, we're going to see. We're coming up.
The Trumas Meiser is not chal on it, so he's got to do it over.
No,
Vishogeg.
He's asking Vishogeg. Masha also, it says, right?
Yeah.
Why? What about the Kohen? Why aren't you looking out for the victim?
He could put it under his pile and cook.
Okay.
It.
Very good.
The other day, you said, that's a huge loss because that's firewood as opposed to food.
Firewood as opposed to food.
And have you been to 7 Mile? You know, the whole
show. Remember that? Remember how much I paid?
180 and you got
108. 108.
108 and you got nothing.
I got a bag of air. Okay. So Rabbi Huda says, very interesting. If you knew that it was Tame. There's two ways to learn this. Let's learn first this way, the simple way. That you knew it was Tame, and you forgot that it was Tame when you were Mafresh, the Trumas Meiser, right? Let's say, right? Afa Pishu Hushogeg, even though you're doing it Bishogeg, like also Klum. Because since you knew it, the fact that you forgot it is no excuse. We don't accept forgetting as an excuse. That's the way some of Farshim learned. Others have a problem with this. The Rosh, this is the Rosh's shot. On the bottom it says that the thing Moshe has a different shot. Let's see, who is this? The missionary Shina, yeah. He questions, he says, noting, nowhere is a transgression caused by forgetfulness considered to be deliberate. In other words, he's teaching a forgot guy, the same way as amazing guy, he says, where do you find such a thing? A guy who forgot something? We're all human, we can forget things, you know? And so that's the missionary Shina. The missionary Shina is the humanist, right? So the Pnei Moshe, the Pnei Moshe therefore learns completely differently. Not that he forgot that it was Tomei, but he forgot that there's an Isser. In other words, he didn't go to Cheder. He doesn't know that there's an Isser to be Mafresh Tomei Allah Tahar. So in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda holds, a person not knowing something is what we call Oimer Mutter. He holds Oimer Mutter Mazed. He holds that someone who thinks something is Mutter has a halacha like a Mazed in it. It's not an excuse. And that's the way he brings this from other people as well. Maybe it's Shita Sarambam. So that's the way. So that's a machlokes, whether we pass like Rabbi Yehuda or not, it's a big shaila. Yeah. Next, now we're going to have a bunch of other examples. Hamad v'kelim is Shabbos. If a person, there's an issue to be tovel keli on Shabbos because of tikkun mona. So again, if you did it for shogeg, it's yishtamish for him. You could use it, you know, even though you shouldn't have done it, but you did it. Don't worry about it. Mezid lo yishtanish b'hen, but if you do it b'mezid, even though it's an issur rabbanon, you can't use it. You can use it probably, I guess, maybe might say Shabbos, I guess, maybe.
You may have to wait Kadesh
Yasu. Usually Kadesh Yasu is when a guy does something for me, so I'm supposed to take away the hanah that I got from the guy doing it on my behalf. And if I don't wait Kadesh Yasu, because I'm losing the hanah, because if I could wait Kadesh Yasu, then I could have told him might say Shabbos, and he could have gotten it done for me. But when it comes to a Yisrael doing something, we don't have the klal Kadesh Yasu, because there's no chash you're going to go do it but mazin on Shabbos. By the guy, there's a chash you're going to tell the guy to do it on Shabbos.
Here he did it.
But there's no chash. You know, never guys are on a yid. He did a b'shogeg. We're talking about b'shogeg. Yeah. Anyway, so
15 says he
can
do it on
Shabbos. Yeah, we're asking, what about b'mazid? Lo yishtanish b'hem, 16, what does it say here? He can therefore, says, he may therefore not use the immersed utensil until after the Sabbath. But I'm just telling you, I don't think there's a din of Kadesh Yasu. Okay? Next. What about Hamasar Mavashal b'Shabbos? Now we're going up a little bit. In the case of Mavashal, this is no longer an Issa d'Rabbanan. Mavashal b'Shabbos is, of course, an Issa d'Oraisa. Much more serious. So here the Mishnah says the same thing. Shoga yochel, mezid lo yochel. It's a little strange that it put ma'aser and mavashal in the same category. Ma'aser and tikkun mona should have been the same, right? But I guess they wanted to put the food examples together, right? Ma'aser is with food, mavashal is with food, and toivol is with a keli, so they categorized them that way, I guess. But as far as Yisroel Drabbanan, they would have put those two together. Anyway, here they point out that this is, of course, the Shita of Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds this way. Reb Yehuda does not hold this way. Reb Yehuda holds if you do a b'mezid, you cannot eat it for yourself. And Reb Meir holds that though. Now, we don't pass like Reb Meir necessarily. I mean, it's a Shailah. That's another Shailah. How do we pass it? Next, Hanotei B'Shas, if you plan on Shabbos. Again, that is a Din D'Oraisa. Shogeg Yekayim, you can let it stay. You can retain the tree that you planted, right? Torah trees for Israel. So Mezid Yakar, but if you did it deliberately, you have to uproot it. After Shabbos, you should uproot it. Right? Don't uproot it on Shabbos. Not advisable. Here, I mean, you remember the Rashash I spoke out a long time ago, right? So, right? If you plant a seed, it takes 3 days for the seed to take root. So if you take the seed out of the ground, Motzi Shabbos, maybe you undid your Isser Zareya on Shabbos. That's what we quoted a Rashash. But that's not the point I want to bring up here. Over here, though, they do point out in the footnotes a very interesting distinction here. When it came to being Mavashal on Shabbos, it didn't say you have to destroy the food. You cooked on Shabbos. You can eat it, even amazing. So, I mean, according to the Reb Meir, you can eat it Moitzei Shabbos, right?
Right, yeah.
Doesn't say you have to destroy the food, but when it comes to planting a tree, it says you have to destroy the tree. Yeah. You're uprooting the tree and you're destroying the tree.
I was going to ask, can you replant it?
Probably.
And you're not destroying it.
Well, you are in a sense that you're completely undoing what you did. Well, that's actually the answer. By the tree, you're undoing what you did. But by the food, you can't undo the cooking. The cooking is done. It's cooked.
I thought it was Asur Olam to the person that cooked the mezid on Shabbos.
That's how we paskin. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Or Meir holds Lekula. Yeah. Okay. Next, let's do the Gemara. Oh, no, I'm sorry. One last statement. Ubi Shviyas, and if it's on Shemitah year, then B'shogim and mezid Yakar, regardless, you have to uproot it. Okay, the Gemara will explain why it's different. That even b'shogeg you have to put it on shvias. Ein tamana tohar. Yakim shem yirochayi nechshu lacham chumaskim mukadam unagam yilayim unam yakat. Then how do you know you're not supposed to take from Torah on tamei? Because it says in the pasuk, by chumas meiser. And remember, whenever we have pasuk by chumas meiser, we learn chumas as well from it. That you take out the ripeness on the vat. So it juxtaposes threshing floor with a wine vat to teach the following. My Yekev, just like it's impossible for a vat. You can't have half of a wine vat filled with wine that's tameh and half of the wine vat is filled with wine that's tahar, it's either all tahar or it's all tameh. Wine can't, if it's liquid, you can't separate it, right? So just like that's can't be possible. So, and therefore truma separated from a tameh vat will be tameh, and truma separated from a tahar vat will be tahar. So, and now we're on the bays, 16b. Af gairen, af abisha esher, so too, despite the fact that it is possible that a threshing floor to be partially tameh and partially tahar. Nonetheless, lemeidin esher, mishe efshar. This is a famous rule, right? That even though I have a case which is efshar, right, it's impossible to have a case of half tameh, half tahar by the yakev, by the vat. But even though it's impossible in one case and it's possible in another case, lemeidim efshar misha efshar, meaning that just like you can't do it in that case, you can't take minatar ala tameh or tameh ala tar, whatever. Let's tar ala tameh we're talking about here. So, right, and therefore the same way you can't do it by the dry as well. Okay, mayato lo yeh trumase truma frekta gemara. So it's a limit from a pasuk. So but the evidence shouldn't be good. So Mar says mi menuksev that there's a rebuy in the pasuk that tells me that even truma improperly separated from tar produce on behalf of tamei produce is valid after the fact and should be given to the kohen. So we have a special pasuk now. As you recall, we saw that the Mepharshim extend a machlokes, whether this din is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. The Rambam holds d'oraisa, the Rash holds it d'rabbanan. So the Rash is going to have to learn that this Gemara is just us, even though we're darshing psukim over here, it's just an asmachta according to him. According to the Rambam, it's more poshut to just read the Gemara kipshutai that we're darshing a pasuk of an emes, right? The other right to the Rambam is because it says Be'emes Amru in the Mishnah, which is a din in Halakha from Sinai, in which case it's certainly their Raisa. So, it'll be a little strange. But I listened to a little bit of my cousin saying over the Shir, Yecheskel Hartman, and I think he quoted the Reb Chaim says that this din is a din der Rabbanan. So, I don't know. Yeah, he's learning like the Rash. Why he favored one over the other, I'm not sure, but I'm sure he has his reasons. Okay. Kol hadvarim lemeidin umalamdin. This is like a very interesting rule. When you have a pasuk that we have a hekesh to, you first have to learn the thing in its place. In other words, that the halachas of that thing that we're going to learn from, we have to fill in the blanks of what we need to learn from that subject first, and then it could be malamed to other things. But you can't be learning from it before you have all the details. That's what it seems to say here. Chodram lemeidin, you teach about themselves, and only then malamdin can they teach about others. I.e., a law derived from a limud must first apply to the subject of the limud before it can be applied to other subjects. Okay, let's see what it says. Trumas Meiser, he melamedas, vein lemeida. But Trumas Meiser teaches about others, but does not teach about itself. In other words, we have an anomaly here, where Trumas Meiser is teaching different halachas. So we're going to see the examples right now.
That don't apply to
other things. Here, look at these examples. These examples we all know already. Look at this. Trumas Meiser, limdal, truma gedola. We learned from Trumas Meiser what? That shlo netaini tells from atar la tameh. We just quoted the pasuk right, just a minute ago. Nashaf lochem, right? That you can't take tar on tameh. Fuhi nu tells from atar la tameh. But trumas meiser itself is separated, right? Six. I remember what we said because the reason why you can't take from atar la tameh is because of achshash of shalom and hamukaf. And remember we said trumas meiser there's no iser of shalom and hamukaf. So therefore, one rule doesn't apply to the other, right? Now, Trumas Meiser, you can take min hatar al tamei because there's no din shalom and amokah by Trumas Meiser. Minayin, Rabbi Yotzi b'shem Chizkiyah, Rabbi Yoni b'shem Rabbi Yonai, Nusatem yimenu as Trumas Hashem al Aaron HaKohen, you can give from it to Aaron HaKohen, Asay sheyinosnu la'aron ha'kohen b'chunoso. Make sure that the trumas ma'aser is in its priestly state, meaning that it's tahar. Right? What are we trying to prove from this? From where do we know what? The trumas ma'aser is separated from tahar produce on behalf of tamei produce. So in other words, what you're doing is you're maintaining it. Right? Mimenu, right? You're taking mimenu from a group of tvua that you're taking the trumas ma'aser out of. You're taking something from that mixture and making sure it stays tahar, meaning that there's something you've got to be careful about to keep it tahar. That's what basically we're saying. It's mimenu, there's tahar and there's tameh, and you're being careful to keep the trumas ma'aser, that it should go l'Aaron HaKohen, whether it should be while he's still with Hunasai and it's tahar. That seems to be the drasha. I didn't even look at it.
It doesn't matter whether it's tahar or tameh. Right?
What doesn't matter?
That
No. Listen to what we're saying now. We're trying to darshan from this pasuk that you're allowed to take trumas ma'aser that's tahar on trumas ma'aser on other ma'aser that's tameh, right? And the reason why, the reason how we know that is because it says you got to be careful to keep that mimenu, that from that original pile of ma'aser, to keep the stuff that you're going to take trumas ma'aser out of it, that it should be like Aron HaKohen v'chunasai. But the rest of it, it could be tameh. That's the drasha. The Gemara assumes this ruling applies to all trumas ma'aser, regardless of whether it was separated on behalf of ma'aser rishon that is tahar or ma'aser rishon that is tameh. Okay, so I've made it a little fancy. Kahana Amar, he learns it from another place. We call chelba asmikta shomimenu. Separate from the best part, the sacred part. Tomana mukudashima, the most sacred portion. So you see, you should always take from the tahar, because the tahar obviously is the best part. There's anyway a general rule, you always have to take from the best part. So here too, it's so here we see, although the law that one may not separate truma from tahar produce on behalf of tameh is from a pasuk by trumas ma'aser, that law applies only to truma gedola, does not apply to trumas ma'aser. So it's like an exception to what we just said. Everything, all every davar lemeidim imenu, and then after malamdim. Here, it's a malamid, even though it's not lemeid to itself. Now we have a second law, trumas ma'aser limdal truma gedola. That watching a talisman hamukaf, it's segment hamukaf. Vihi, but trumas ma'aser itself, he tells shalom hamukaf. You can take trumas ma'aser, not even from the mukaf, right? It says you take from all your truma, from all your ma'aser. That is to say, even if I have ma'aser, some of it is in Yehuda and some of it is in the Galil, nonetheless, I can take from one pile on another the trumas ma'aser. So that's how you see.
It's showing you because it's so far apart.
Even though it's so far apart, you can still take it. Masha'in came by truma, you can't take shalom and mukaf. So here's a second example where you have a malamed, even though it's not lamed to its own parsha. And that's the exception. And that's where we're going to stop today. Okay. 16b2, we'll begin in Mitzvah Shem. Mitzvah Shabbos. At 7:45?
The Fellas of Learning really starts closer to 7. Last week I was off.
So it's 8. So we'll do 8 o'clock again.